I'd like for you to pray with me as we prepare our hearts for God's word. Father, we just thank you for your faithfulness to us, Lord, and that you always meet us here when we gather in your name. And Lord, I thank you for your precious word. I pray, Father, that tonight that we might have understanding, Lord, that the Holy Spirit would teach us, Lord, in a way that we can live it out in our lives to your glory and honor. In Jesus' name, amen. Amen. Well, I don't know if anybody here is broke, but here's 10 signs that you're broke, all right? American Express calls and says, leave home without it, right? The word free always grabs your attention. Utility companies don't call you to switch. You steal toilet paper from public restrooms. Not the church, though, right? You clean your house looking for change. Your baloney has no first name. Yeah. You think a lottery ticket is an investment. You think McDonald's is fine dining. McDonald's supplies you with all your kitchen condiments. Oh, now some of you are like, hey, wait a minute. I'm just thrifty. And last, at communion, you ask for seconds. I like those little things and the grape juice. No. Good to see you this evening. Seeing who's here, who's naughty and nice. No, not really. Just had to see for a minute. But we are a blessed people. God is good to us. He is faithful to us. And you know, there's a lot of stories in the Bible. And you realize that none of them are in there just by accident. They're all in there for a reason. And in fact, the New Testament tells us that the stories of the Old Testament are to teach us. They're to be examples for us, to help us to understand spiritual things. So we're going to look at a passage of Scripture where, somebody was broke, all right? 2 Kings chapter 4, and we're going to read 1 through 7. 2 Kings chapter 4, beginning from verse 1. A certain woman of the wives of the sons of the prophets cried out to Elisha, saying, your servant, my husband, is dead, and you know that your servant feared the Lord, and the creditor is coming to take my two sons to be his slaves. So Elisha said to her, what shall I do for you? Tell me, what do you have in the house? And she said, your maidservant has nothing in the house but a jar of oil. Then he said, go borrow vessels from everywhere, from all your neighbors, empty vessels. Do not gather just a few. And when you have come in, you shall shut the door behind you and your sons, and then pour it into all those vessels and set aside the full ones. So she went from him and shut the door behind her and her sons, who brought the vessels to her, and she poured it out. Now it came to pass, when the vessels were full, that she said to her son, bring me another vessel. And he said to her, there is not another vessel. So the oil ceased. Then she came and told the man of God, and he said, go sell the oil, pay your debt, and you and your sons live on the rest. Wow, what an amazing story of miraculous provision. And certainly, all of us should realize that God is our provider. He is our source and supply. And this passage, this story, is a wonderful story to teach us and to tell us and to show us the principle that when we obey God, God takes care of our needs. And, you know, that is the obvious principle here. But tonight, I want us to look at this story in a little bit different light. Because, you know, a lot of the time we do this when we read the Bible, we read a story like that and we think, well, you know, if I'm ever broken, the creditors are coming for me, I'll see if I can find some oil in my house and some jars. But I want you to understand that there is a spiritual principle here that every single one of us can apply in our life and live out on a daily basis. You know, Elijah asked her what she had, and she said, nothing except one jar of oil. And then he tells her, he says, go get as many jars as you can and just start filling them. And listen, it didn't run out until there were no more jars. All the jars were filled. I want you to consider this story in regard to spiritual blessings and spiritual things. Do you realize that God has blessed you? Do you realize how much you have? That Jesus became poor that you might be made rich? Ephesians 1:3 tells us that we've been blessed by God and the Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, who has blessed us with every spiritual blessing in the heavenly places in Christ. You've been blessed. I mean, if you're a born-again Christian, you are really, really blessed. You have a lot. You know, sometimes you might feel like that widow woman and say, well, I don't have anything except this one thing. No, you have a lot. You've been richly blessed. But I want you to understand tonight, though, that even if you feel like you just have a little bit, that if you'll start using it, God will bless it. God will cause it to just continue to multiply. It'll just keep going and keep going and keep going. You know, tonight, we look to the scripture. How blessed we are that, well, I think I'm pretty safe in saying every one of us has a Bible. If you don't have a Bible, you can see me after the service and we will get you a Bible. In fact, somebody donated some Bibles to the church to make sure that if there's somebody that doesn't have a Bible, we've got a Bible for you, all right? But most of us, we've got so many Bibles. Do you realize how blessed you are to have such freedom and to be able to enjoy the Word of God like you do? Do you realize what a treasure it is to have the Holy Spirit of God? Do you realize how blessed we are to know that God loves us? Tonight, I want to challenge you not to pour oil into jars, but to pour spiritual things into empty vessels. I'm talking about other people. Do you realize that in the scripture, it refers to people as vessels several times? One of those is 2 Corinthians 4:7, where it says we have this treasure in earthen vessels. Another is in 2 Timothy, where he's talking about being a vessel fit for the master's use. He says there's some that are honorable vessels and some that are dishonorable vessels, but here's the point. People are vessels. They're containers that you can pour into. Just like that widow woman started pouring that oil into those empty jars, I tell you, every believer has something on the inside that you could pour into somebody else. And we're talking about the good stuff, right? Don't pour any garbage in. No, we're just talking about the good stuff, all right? We're just talking about the blessings that you have. And like I said, some of you think you don't have any, but you do. You, like the widow woman, you just need to look a little harder. You need to realize you've got something to start with. But I want you to consider those around you, your family, your loved ones, your coworkers, your neighbors, people that you come in contact with. I want you to consider them to be vessels. Maybe even your enemies. Consider them to be vessels. Somewhere where you could pour a little something into and just keep pouring and keep pouring, keep pouring. What do you have? Well, you got the Word of God. Amen? You know, you might only know just a little bit. You might only know a few verses. You might not hardly be able to quote it at all. But did you know that a word from God can turn somebody around? That just the right word at the right time can mean the difference in them getting over the top, getting victory in a certain area, maybe even in them receiving a healing? Just because you had a word, you start giving that word out, guess what's going to happen? You're going to start getting more and start getting more and start getting more. You know, the things of God, the Word of God, was never intended for us to just soak up and soak up and soak up. No, Jesus said, freely you've received, now freely give. And we need to be giving out all the time. I thank the Lord we've got some people in this church that, man, they are full of the Word. They always have a good word to say. I used to know a lady that was real religious, and she would quote scriptures at people, and it wasn't a blessing. She just kind of did it as a prideful thing. But I'd also been around people that just had the right thing to say, a word in due season that would help you and help you keep going and help you to believe and help you to press on. And I just want to tell you, you can take that word, what little word you have, and you just start pouring it into other people. You just let God use you that way. You may make the difference in somebody's eternity. What else do you have? You got the love of God. Do you know the Bible says that the Holy Spirit has poured? Well, I better give you the reference, all right? Some of you need this one. Romans 5:5, the love of God has been poured out into our hearts by the Holy Spirit. Now, Jesus said that the Father gives the Holy Spirit to those who ask. So we have the Holy Spirit. If you don't have the Holy Spirit, you need to ask for the Holy Spirit. And then, guess what? You need to share with others. But listen, the Holy Spirit has poured the love of God into our hearts. So we have the love of God. You realize how powerful love is? Do you realize how life-changing the love of God can be? What a difference you can make in somebody else's life if you just love them. Now, you know what? We can't leave the love out. If you leave the love out, then we're just religious. You always got to have the love, because all the other gifts and all the other blessings don't work if you leave the love out, right? But if we love people, if we just love people, the Bible says love never fails. What if you think of love, like it says the Holy Spirit has poured it into our hearts. Well, what if we think of love like that oil? What if you just start thinking of it, pouring it into other people's hearts? Just putting a little love in. How do you do that? With a kind word or maybe a kind deed? Just to be nice to somebody that doesn't deserve it? Maybe you just give a hug to somebody that needs a hug, show them a little affection. I'm just telling you, sometimes it's just us being willing to do that. And I want you to hear me now. In this church, we really believe in preaching the gospel. that the gospel is the power of God unto salvation. But I want you to understand this too, though. There is a part of the discipleship process, and we're supposed to make disciples. And there's a part of that process that can only happen through relationships. That's why the 12 lived with Jesus, because there's something in discipleship that you can't just teach it from a pulpit. It has to be learned from one another. But here's where I'm going with this. Church, we need to be doing this every day, that we're always pouring into the lives of others. That's part of how people grow in the faith. It's as we as a body pour into each other and bless others. Pour a little love in them. You say, oh, but they're mean and nasty. Listen, that might be the one that you especially need to pour into. Remember this, Jesus says, the pagans do good to those who do good to them. They love those who love them. That's nothing. But when we love those who don't deserve it, or maybe you love your loved ones even when they're not acting right, but you just pour a little love in. You just keep pouring a little love in. Are you afraid you're going to run out? No, just keep pouring. Keep pouring. Let God do a work in their heart and their life. Everybody around you. Some people are just kind of hard. You can love on them and it doesn't seem to make any difference. Well, it's kind of like oil on an old baseball glove. You just keep putting a little oil on it, and eventually you're going to soften it up. There's some of you wouldn't be here if somebody didn't love on you. And I'm just telling you, love is powerful. The love of God can change somebody. I mentioned the Holy Spirit puts the love of God in our heart, and how that if we just ask for the Holy Spirit. Now, how can you share the Holy Spirit with other people? Well, you can talk to them about the Holy Spirit. But you know, you can also just share spiritual things by praying for other people. You can share spiritual things just by being willing to minister to others and talk to others about what God has done for you. But whatever you've received from the Lord, here it is, it's Matthew 10:8. Heal the sick, cleanse the lepers, raise the dead, cast out devils. Freely you have received, now freely give. Keep pouring. Do you have any faith? Have you got just a little bit? The widow said, I just got one jar of oil. That's all I got. Have you got just a little bit? Do you know it only takes a little bit of faith? Well, Jesus said, if you've got faith as a mustard seed, you can say to this mulberry tree, be pulled up by the roots and planted in the sea, and it would obey you. If you've got just a little bit of faith, I want to encourage you tonight to share it with somebody else, to just start pouring it into other people. Now, here's the theme of the day. It's pessimism, skepticism, cynicism, unbelief, and doubt. Our society, our culture is so negative. I'm not talking about just positive thinking. I'm talking about believing the Word of God. And if you've got just a little bit of faith, I'm telling you, you need to start pouring it out, sharing it with other people. You're not going to run out. In fact, if you'll start sharing your faith with other people, you'll be surprised how your faith just continues to increase. I want to remind you of the scripture, 2 Corinthians 4:13 says, and since we have the same spirit of faith according to what is written, I believed and therefore I spoke. We also believe and therefore speak. So if you've got some faith, how do you pour it into other people? You speak it. You share it by the words of your mouth. Don't say something that spreads unbelief. You know, Jesus never spoke unbelief to anybody. No, but he always talked about faith, and he always put faith in people. Speak faith. Don't be one of those like the 10 spies that came back with a bad report. Always, you know, some people just always have, that they're going to point out the negative side to everything. Now, I'm not talking about, listen, I'm a realist. And if you're going to do something, I can see the problems that you're going to have to deal with. But I'm just telling you, what we need to be speaking to one another is words of faith, building people up. So easy to be negative and tear down. Ephesians 4:29 says, "Let no corrupt word proceed out of your mouth, but what is good for necessary edification, that it may impart grace to the hearers." See, we need to always be encouraging others. Hebrews 3:13 in the NIV says, "Encourage one another daily." The New King James says, "Exhort one another." And most of us, we kind of check out on that word. We don't use that word much anymore. But he's talking about encouraging one another. He's talking about putting courage in. Encourage. You're putting in courage. Building others up. Can you muster up just one encouraging word for your spouse? Maybe some friend. Tell them their hair looks good. If they got it, right? But can you say just one encouraging word? You're doing good. I'm glad you came to church tonight. I'm glad you came to church tonight, right? No, that's not what I mean. But we need to be putting courage into others. You know, when the Lord told Joshua to go into the promised land, he kept telling him this three times. He told him to have courage. One of those is Joshua 1:9. He said, "Have not I commanded you to be strong and of good courage?" You know why? Because if you're going to do anything for God, if you're going to fulfill the purpose of God in your life, it's going to take courage. I want to tell you, there's a lot of people dealing with battles right now. They're going through things. You know what they need? They need some courage. A lot of people facing fears, dealing with doubt and unbelief. You know what they need? They need courage. Do you realize that you can be the one that pours a little courage in them? And most of you know by now that I was a youth pastor for over 15 years. And one of the things that I learned somewhere along about year 5, took me a while to learn this, but one of the most powerful things you can do with a teenager is to encourage them. Just encourage them. Just tell them they can do something. Just tell them they could be something. It's so powerful. In fact, I've seen young people just turn their life around just because somebody started encouraging them a little bit. You know, when I think of encouragement, I always think of our former pastor, Brother Harold Nichols, because he was such a great encourager. Didn't matter what you were going through or what happened, or I'm just telling you, he would always be there to encourage you, to say something uplifting, to make you feel good, make you feel like you could fight and go on and win. And how we need that. Now, there's some people like Brother Nichols, I guess we could just say, well, he had a gift of encouragement. Maybe you just got a little bit. Start using it. You know what? This is really, I'm not doing a great job of preaching this message, but I'm telling you, this is a powerful message, because if we would just do this, we just start pouring a little oil in those vessels around us on a daily basis. You just start pouring a little in and pouring a little in. Just start encouraging. You know, talk about young people and how it could be life-changing for them. But the truth is that all of us need to be encouraged. That's why the Bible says, encourage one another daily. So are we going to obey the scripture every day? There's a story about a famous 19th century poet and artist named Rossetti, who once had an elderly man approach him with some drawings, and he wanted to know if these drawings were any good. And Rossetti looked at them for a while, and finally he wanted to be kind to the old gentleman, but he said, I'm not going to lie to you. There's not really any promise here. These are not very good. And then the older gentleman, he said, well, if I could bother you for just a little longer, would you look at these drawings? And he handed him some more drawings. He says, these were done by a young artist. I wanted to see what you thought of these. And Rossetti looked at them for a few minutes and he said, now these are really good. This young man has a lot of potential. He says, who is this? Is this your son? He said, no, this is something that I did 40 years ago. But I got discouraged and I gave up. I just want you to realize, see, he got discouraged. When you encourage people, you're helping them reach their potential in God. Don't discourage. In fact, you know, we have this awesome youth group. So many teenagers. I'm excited. Those are changed lives. But listen to me. I want to challenge every single one of you, not just the moms and dads and grandparents, every single one of you to encourage our young people. Brother Nichols was 90-something years old, and he would walk up to those young people and grab their hands and say, man, you're doing good, you're doing good. Every single one of us need to do this. Let's encourage our young people. And while we're at it, let's do it to the pastor. No, let's all encourage one another daily. Just pour a little courage in. Just keep on doing that. I read this story about Dan Rather, of all people, that he once boxed. As a kid, he liked to box when he was young, and he tells this story about how one of the things he liked about the sport was that, you know, when you're in the ring, it's just you. But then when you get knocked down, there's something that helps you. It's somebody in your corner yelling, get up, get up, get up. And I'm telling you, there's a lot of people that get knocked down and they need somebody, not just yelling at them, okay, but encouraging them to get up, encouraging them that they can make it. How we need to do that, church. Sometimes we get frustrated when we try to help somebody. You feel like, you know, some people you just can't help them. You know, you're trying to pour into their life, and either their life is so full of junk you can't get anything else in, or they just refuse to accept it. But I want to tell you where you can always find a vessel that's receptive. Children's ministry. Now, I want to tell you, we're not begging for workers. We're not looking for warm bodies. And by the way, we do screen and make sure, and we do our best to know people before we don't just grab people and stick them in children's ministry. But I want you to hear this now. Kids are so easy. They're so easy to receive and believe about the Lord. You talk about somebody you can pour into is a child. So open and receptive and teachable. And by the way, That's why, as parents and as a church, we have to protect them, because they are so open and receptive. You got to protect them. But I just want to tell you, you want to pour into a life and make a difference? Children's ministry and youth ministry. But all of us need it. By the way, some of those that you think you just can't help, well, try anyway. You know the best time to reach a drug addict, an alcoholic? It's before they become one. So if you catch somebody doing something good, encourage them. If you catch somebody doing wrong, encourage them. They need it even more. Anybody got any enthusiasm? I'm so glad Brother Ken Dornhecker is going to be here next Wednesday night to share the word with you. The fireball. Mr. Enthusiasm. Enthusiasm is a good thing. The Bible says, never be lacking in zeal, but keep your spiritual fervor serving the Lord. Now, some of you, you're like, I'm not enthusiastic. Listen, if you've got even just a little bit, share your enthusiasm, all right? Zig Ziglar said, enthusiasm is more contagious than measles or chicken pox. Once you have it, it will spread to your family and your church. So, you know what? We need enthusiasm. I think that that's one of the factors in church growth. It is as simple as that. If people are enthusiastic about their church grows. If they're like, eh, nobody wants to go to your church when you go, yeah, my church is meh. It's all right. Stories. Here's another story for you. Johnny Harrell had a Gulf service station. He'd been told that enthusiasm was a wonderful thing and would help his business. So he got his guys together that worked for him, and he said, this week, we're going to conduct an experiment in enthusiasm. I want you to check the oil filter of everyone who drives in here, and I want you to make an enthusiastic presentation to them about how much a new oil filter will help their car. At the end of that week, he checked the records, and they had sold 700% more oil filters than the best week he had ever had before that time. Why? Just because his guys were being enthusiastic about oil filters. Come on. We've got something to be enthusiastic about. And you realize that if you are just enthusiastic about church and about the Lord, it might make the difference in somebody's eternity. As simple as that. Can it really be that simple? Oh, well, you know what? A lot of times we just kind of keep it where it's theoretical. But when it comes down to being practical and really doing something with it, see, that's where the change really happens, is when we actually do something with the Word of God. That woman, what? How in the world does that work? I don't know, but God's in it. And I'm telling you, Jesus says, freely we've received, now freely give. And when we start doing that, I'm telling you, you will find such joy. You're going to find such victory in that. And your supply isn't going to run out. I've met a few Christians who said, well, I've given and given and given. I just don't have anything else to give. I'm telling you, Jesus will be your source and supply. You will not run out. You don't run out of hugs. If you're out of smiles, something's wrong, right? Amen. Listen, if you're out of the Word, well, you need to fill up. But I'm just telling you, church, if we'll just give, if we'll just start pouring into others, we're going to see a change, going to see something happen. All the vessels around you. Just see people as vessels. And your relationship with them. And the things that you do and the things that you say. What are you adding to them? And realize that God can use that. If you'll just keep pouring in. Just keep pouring in. You say, oh, but you don't understand. They just seem to be doing worse and worse and worse. Just keep pouring in. Just keep pouring in. I'm telling you, God is able to make the difference. He's still in the miracle business. And the same one that made that oil never run out, I'm telling you, he can take us pouring into others and use that to change their life. And when all the vessels around you are full, guess what? God will bring somebody else across your path that needs something that you can bless. I just want to encourage you tonight, church. Let's put feet to our faith. Let's live it out, and let's just obey God in it, all right? Would you do that with me? Amen. So I'm going to ask you to stand with me. We're going to dismiss, and this is the first time I looked at the clock tonight, and I'm glad I did because we have 2 minutes left. Whew. But I want you to do this even before you get out of the building. I want you to encourage somebody, hug somebody. Just allow God to use you in some way. Pour into somebody. Father, I just thank you for this body, and I thank you, Lord, that you are growing us. Lord, not only numerically, but spiritually, that you're doing a work in us. And I pray, Father, that we would just have a great impact, that truly we'd be salt and light. And Lord, use us to your honor and glory. In Jesus' name, amen. Amen. Lord, bless you.